do, I don't do no more. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. For the Lord's made a change in me.
This is Melissa, and it is the 12th of December, 2024, Real History, and I had a sad accident with the recording that I did. It happened to me once before. I think it was Neil Foster, very discouraging, where I had a great conversation with Rare and the Amazon. I've been calling the uploads I do of his the original Walk and Talk. And he was filling in for Neil, who I usually talk to the second Thursday of the month, but Neil is doing his holiday driving job. So Rare and I had a great conversation about how long he's been in the Amazon, how he just got to listen to Alan Watt, and his channel, which is called Sign Project, S-I-N-E, and I asked him about that, and it is survival is not enough. And so we talked about what it means to survive in the Amazon, and you know, his point is that that's not enough. To be human, we have to do more than survive. So I was so sad tonight when I sat down to illustrate the conversation. I was kind of running late. It was last minute. I had a hectic day, and I start, and I announced it, and there and I'm talking, and then I'm waiting for him to say something, and I skip ahead, and I realize, oh, no. So what I have done is downloaded Rare's latest Walk and Talk, which he called Transgender, and then inspired by what he had to say on the topic, I've added a few other elements in there. So it's his Walk and Talk about transgenderism, and well, just watch. It's not too long, and I hope that you find it interesting. And again, I hate that I lost a really good conversation. It's always so disappointing when something, anything, causes the recording not to work out. And there were all kinds of things. You know, we'll talk again with him. He always has challenges as to whether he's going to get a good signal. And he's, basically living in a kind of tribal village type situation. It was really cool. So you had the sound of birds and dogs and people, and it was just very jungle tribey. So, but alas, not to be. So I hope that you enjoy this talk. Next Thursday, I will be speaking with Kelly in Canada, and she's actually the daughter of someone that I've done a real history with. I'm looking forward to that, and knock on wood, there will be no technical difficulties. So enjoy Rare's Walk and Talk and the little extra bits that I put in there. Take care.
Walk and Talk 26, Transgenders. Oh well, that's only been a thing for what, 25 years? Yes. I mean, I remember that Big Brother show they put on that Nadia character as a tranny. And that's when it all started to really get into people's consciousness. It's a sad, very sad state of affairs, but that's what it's come to. That's how much people in this world have let down their guard and become weak. Our men, the men that are meant to be preserving and protecting the children and their nation, have let it all go because they've all been getting on the lash. They've all been broken down, been made fun of in all the television programs. And all most men in the Western world now are just seen as a joke. But the transgender movement is really transhumanism in disguise. You know, it starts with cutting off your bits and bobs, and then 15 years down the line they'll be mixing people in petri dishes with fish genes, just like they do with your tomatoes and all your other genetically modified food. Oh dear me, as if we last that long, folks. As if it lasts that long. But yeah, that's where it comes down to, transhumanism and getting a chip in your brain. Once you start cutting your bits and bobs off, and that becomes acceptable, and it has, even for children, which is so sad. But once you start doing that, then a chip in the old brain isn't that much of a far-fetched deal, is it? It becomes easily more acceptable. And so does mixing people, mixing human genes with the genes of other animals in laboratories, which I have no doubt they're already doing. That's probably where you're going to find your alien species when they decide to bring them forth on the world stage. We have, I've met a whole number of transgenders, and I always felt sad for them, most of them. Some of them were just blatantly soulless, and they had no soul, they had just a spirit, and they wanted to get off in the world. There's that spirit just wanting to get off in the world while it had a body. That's, I suppose, sad in a way as well. But they have no qualms, those types of people, are bringing down others with souls. But most of the transgender people that I've helped, I've spoke to many of them when in previous jobs, and like helping to try and prevent them from committing suicide. But all of them are miserable. I never met a happy one. I never, ever, ever met a happy person who was transgender. And people say, oh, it's because they get picked on. Of course, we're always getting picked on. I'm like, nah, the ones that I met weren't getting picked on. I think the major picking is them picking on themselves. I love these. Bag birds, Matilda birds. There's more in that tree there too, see? Probably not going to get a response out of them this morning. We had one back there. Found another one. Good boy, boys. Come on, bloody hell. And, yeah, so transgenders. And I have members. I bumped into a member of the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community. You bump into them more and more often. Now, these are all people that have been mentally mangled, spiritually mangled, and indoctrinated. They're operating on one hemisphere or the other hemisphere more strongly than the other in their own head. It's a spiritual war, remember? Anyway, so she's just saying, oh yeah, you know, transgenders get picked on and whatever. And I just told her how sad it was. You've seen these little children getting their bodies chopped up, man. It's outrageous. I can't even watch those videos. It knocks me ill. But anyway, so this transgender said, oh, you know, she's not a tranny herself, I don't think. Well, I think she was. That's gay, I think. I don't mind what people are, really. If it makes you happy, Go and be whatever you want to be, but don't push it on the children. Don't start putting it into schools for children to learn. Leave the children alone. You see, if you're a real man with some real balls and some real strength, that's your whole purpose, you know that? To stand up for the children, eh? I guess people have forgotten though. Not most of my audience, I think they know the score. Most of you lot know the score. So this LGBTQRSTUV12345 plus person said, she said, oh, I was talking about trans, and I turned around and said to her, well, every single transgender I've ever met have been miserable. I've had to prevent some of them from committing suicide. Like, they're always looking down at the floor, they're always in a miserable state. And I turn around and I say, okay. I said, it's a spiritual problem, right? It's a problem in the brain. What people call mental illness, we've gone over this in previous videos. There's no such thing as mental illness, it's a spiritual problem. So, she said, this thing said, oh no, it's not a mental illness, you know. I was like, well, there's nothing in nature that wants to chop its bits and bobs off, right? There's nothing in there that thinks that the great artist didn't make it perfectly and therefore wants to chop its own bits and bobs off. So I always just turn around to this, the transgenders, and I just settle the dispute instantly. I just turn around to them and I go, okay, well, if the transgender is not a mental illness, what about transabled people? That's not a mental illness either then, is it? And they're like, transabled? What's transabled? So they know all about the trans. Where's the colour for the transabled people? Why don't they get a shout out? Why aren't they part of the community? Why aren't they part of the LGBTQ1234561098 community? Why aren't they part of that? Transabled people, you know? The transabled people, the people that make themselves blind because they believe they were born disabled, or they get a leg chopped off or an arm cut off because they believe that they were born without, they believe that they should have been born without an arm, or they believe they should have been born blind. Yeah, look, they've heard me. Oh, they've heard me. Woo, 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 woo. Transabled. So I say to them, well, what about transabled people? And then the transgender, this LGBTQ people, whatever person looks at me and they say, transabled? Oh, I'll have to look into that. I've never heard of it. Oh, how have you never heard of it? Why aren't you protecting these people? You're out there protecting everyone else who's chopping off their bits and their bobs. Why aren't you protecting the transabled community? Now, and you explain to them what transabled is, and you ask them, you say, what, you tell me, is that a mental issue? Or is that okay to drop your leg off because you think that you were born disabled? And they say, well, they say nothing. They don't give you an answer because they can't answer it. Because they know that if they say that that's okay, or if they say that it's not okay, if they say transabled people is mental health issue, then what they're basically saying is, well, then transgenderism is a mental health issue also, right? And that's how you get them. That's how you get them. When you have a talk, whenever you have to speak to them. Some of them, I'll be honest, aren't bad people. They're just, you got to look at these people as mentally incapacitated. Because that's what they are. Woo! 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 Woo, 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 boop, boop. They're all kicking off now. I love this water. I think that pretty much covers it for transgender has been pushed on people. And of course, all the plastics, all of the all the plastics, all the chemtrails, all the stuff they put into our diet, all the injections and in things, yeah, all the injections, that's all what's been making people weak and transgenderish. It's so sad with children, though. It's so sad. Alright then, Rooski Roo. We ready? Oh, yes, we are. Oh, no, you don't! Yeah. Be blessed, everyone. Until next time.
According to census data, roughly 3,000 teens ages 13 to 17 identify as transgender in Tennessee alone. And this case could have implications beyond Tennessee, with 26 other states passing similar restrictions on gender-affirming care for minors. So let's talk more about this with GLAAD President and CEO Sarah Kate Ellis here with me in studio. Sarah Kate, thank you for coming in. Let's just start with your concerns here. What are your biggest worries with the potential outcome of this case?
My biggest worries is that what you're seeing happening across the country is going to be emboldened to happen even more, which is now over half the states in this country are banning gender care for teens and youth. And I think that what we're up against is these are kids who have been around forever. Like, I just want to pull us back for a second, because we're talking about health care here. We're talking about kids and teens and youth, and we're talking about a community that has existed forever. And in 2020, there were no bans against these kids. And now there are more than half the states in this country banning this kind of life-saving care for these kids. That's health care. And I think what's happened in that time period from 2020 to now is that the trans community has been politicized. And this is a political battle, not a health care battle, because all of the major American medical associations approve this health care for kids, for the youth. And so these are choices and conversations that happen between families and doctors. And now we're taking it to courts, and we're taking it into policy and legislation and politics, and it doesn't need to be there.
What's your response to what we heard in that piece? The critics saying, listen, we ban kids from doing lots of things. They're not allowed to smoke cigarettes. They're not allowed to drink alcohol. They're not allowed to do these things that potentially make decisions that are life-altering for them. What's your response to that? That kids are just too young to make these decisions and could potentially be doing something that will impact them for years to come.
Yeah, so I would just start at the core of that argument, which is those are bad things. Smoking cigarettes, they're proven. Tattoos, tattoos aren't bad, but they're things that are different and not necessary. This is life-saving medicine. We're talking about not treating people for diabetes if they're youth. What are we talking about? We can't compare that to smoking cigarettes, your life-affirming and life-saving medical care. I think they're two different things, and we're arguing something, you know, I think protecting kids absolutely is in all of our best interests, and this does protect them. This gives them the life that they need and that they want, and so I think it's a really important factor to take into consideration. What are we really discussing here?
Now, a Gallup poll from June finds a slim majority of U.S. adults say changing gender is morally wrong. What's your response to that, and how is your organization working within that context?
So my response to that is, if you think about it, only 30% of Americans say they know somebody who's transgender. So a lot of these responses are coming from people who haven't met people who are trans who don't understand the journey and don't understand what those folks are up against. And so when you have 70% of the population in America making decisions based on politicians politicizing a community, you're going to see numbers like that because they haven't met trans people. This is a human rights issue. This isn't a political issue, and it's been politicized for gain. And so I think it's really critical that we look at what we're talking about here, which is human dignity.
Given that, do you think having more trans people in the public eye, for example, we're about to see the first trans senator with Senator Sarah McBride entering the Senate in January, do you think that changes that conversation if people see more examples in public?
1,000,000%. It's the whole premise of our organization is representation matters. It's a double-edged sword, though, right? With that representation, like Sarah McBride saw, she saw a backlash at Congress where they're trying now to police where she can go to the bathroom. Trans people have been going to the bathroom in those halls for years and years and years, decades. But now they're making it a political fight. So I do think the more we see and meet trans people, the more they're humans and they're not, they can't be then created into these boogie people who live in closets and are dangerous for society. They're actually just your neighbors and your friends and your family who want to contribute to society like everybody else in America.
Rosa was a smart, happy 14-year-old when she met her first boyfriend. "I found my forever," she told everyone, until he suddenly ended it. Rosa was devastated, and the COVID lockdowns made things worse. She was isolated in her room all day, surfing the net. As the lockdowns dragged on, Rosa became sullen, irritable, and withdrawn. Her tank tops and shorts were replaced by oversized hoodies and baggy sweatpants. One day, Rosa came home with a buzz cut. Shortly after, she declared she was a boy and demanded testosterone. "During my medical training, Rosa's condition, now called gender dysphoria, was so rare, I never imagined I would see even one case in my lifetime. But over the past decade, the incidence of gender dysphoria has increased 5,000%. What changed? Why did Rosa believe she was in the wrong body and that without pharmaceuticals and operations, she'd never be happy? Why do the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, and many other medical associations claim that Rosa's delusion is normal? Why do they recommend treatment that will disfigure and possibly sterilize her healthy body? Before I answer that, let me tell you what hasn't changed. Sex is established at the moment of conception. Sex is permanent. While Rosa's body can be modified, she will never be a boy. Never. But my profession has been hijacked by a political crusade determined to erase the very notion of male and female. Medical associations have become mouthpieces for the gender zealots' radical theories. Individuals construct their own reality. If Rosa feels she's a boy, she is one. Hormones and surgery are the only solutions to gender dysphoria. If Rosa wants to grow a beard and have her breasts removed, she has that fundamental right. Those are the premises of so-called gender-affirming care. Proponents claim the approach is evidence-based, but the evidence is flimsy at best. It rests on one small study done in Holland 30 years ago with only 55 subjects. The primary entry requirement was severe gender distress from early childhood. The subjects were given puberty blockers, opposite-sex hormones, and occasionally surgery. After 18 months, some subjects reported modest improvement. The study had no control group and was never replicated. So for those and many other reasons, it's considered seriously flawed and unreliable. The Dutch protocol was never intended to be the basis for helping all individuals distressed about their sex. But that's what happened. A tiny defective study became the basis of gender medicine around the world. This is a medical scandal. A man-made catastrophe that has shattered many lives, not only of young people, but of those who love them. My colleagues, who should be protecting vulnerable kids like Rosa, are complicit in this atrocity. Some by writing prescriptions, others with a scalpel, but the majority by witnessing the evil and remaining silent. But there is reason for hope. The most comprehensive review yet of gender-affirming care was recently commissioned by the National Health Service in Great Britain. Dr. Hilary Cass, former president of Britain's Royal College of Pediatrics, analyzed data from England's Tavistock Gender Clinic, the largest in the world until it was shut down in 2024. Her report is a scathing indictment of the clinic's practices. She demonstrates there is no evidence medical interventions benefit gender-distressed young people. What the kids need, Dr. Cass concludes, is counseling. Great Britain, Norway, Finland, Sweden, and Denmark have essentially stopped medical treatment of teens whose bodies are 100% healthy and are focusing on their minds and hearts. The Netherlands, France, and Belgium are not far behind. In March of 2024, a report in France described sex reassignment in minors as potentially one of the greatest ethical scandals in the history of medicine. But in the U.S. and Canada, I'm sorry to say, it's full steam ahead. How do we stop this runaway train? As a doctor, I'm going to put responsibility on my colleagues. Do your research. You're not hearing the other side of the debate. Read the Cass report. Your medical associations have lost their way. Understand, this is not about compassion and rights. It's about tyranny. Stand up to the activist bullies. Speak out against the sacrifice of children on the altar of a perverse political agenda. Let me end where I began, with Rosa. Her story has a happy ending. Her parents and I pulled her back from the brink. Tragically, many other roses have been lost, and many others are still out there. We must save them. I'm Dr. Miriam Grossman, author of Lost in Transnation, A Child Psychiatrist's Guide Out of the Madness, and senior fellow at Do No Harm Medicine for Prager University.
Riddle me this. Two men walk into a doctor's office. The first one says, "This isn't me anymore. I want to cut off a healthy piece of my body. I identify as a woman." The doctor says, "No problem. This person is given everything that they need and wildly celebrated. Go out and live their best life, right?" Second man walks into the doctor's office. He says, "This isn't me anymore. I want to cut off a healthy part of my body. I identify as an amputee." Doctor says, "Absolutely not. You have a mental disorder and you need to go see a therapist." Either we're pro, we can do whatever we want with our bodies, or we're not. There's a double standard. Prove me wrong.
Dr. Jasmine Boone, I am never surprised at what comes up next on social media, and did a little research, and this is more than just on social media. It's been an ongoing problem. It's just making a resurgence on social media. When you talk about people who are into transable or transableism, explain that exactly what it is.
Yes. So this is also known as body integrity identity disorder in the mental health world. It is so rare that there is not a ton of research out there to give us a solid conclusion yet, but many are speculating it is very closely related to kind of body dysmorphia, also obsessive compulsive tendencies. So essentially, psychologically, the person is seeing themselves as not having that limb or that second half of the leg anyway. And so they want to amputate it. And so that is essentially
an otherwise perfectly good limb, a perfectly good leg,
perfectly healthy
arm.
That is the thing that makes it distinct. Perfectly healthy limbs, arms, legs, but neuropsychologically, it is possible that when they see themselves, that arm isn't there. And so they want what they're seeing here to be what everybody else sees and what they see in the mirror.
And what extent will people go to, address, or I can't even think of the terminology, but in order to get to be someone who is transable, how far will they go to get there?
Oh, there's records of body mutilation in an extreme way. There's amputation. Some people have gone as far as to have that leg amputated or to move towards paralysis. That's another piece. Taking the steps that they can take within their power to actually paralyze their body.
And we've seen also some reports indicating that there are individuals who, as a result of this, they want to be blind. They don't want to hear, so they will put in certain types of contact lenses so they can't see or it's cloudy. They would put in special earplugs so they can't hear. It's just mind blowing.
Yeah. You know, from research, the research that has been gained, there can be some childhood trauma here. There could also be overexposure, over-identification with a loved one that had this disability. So maybe if your grandfather was blind or you had a grandmother who was missing a leg, there may be over-identification with that. So there are some things to help with it. But yes, you're right. People are getting contacts to blur their vision, all types of things of that nature. It's interesting. It's an interesting phenomenon.
If you have a friend or family member who may be going through this, what can you do to get them help? Or do they need help? There were some authors and bloggers who said, well, if they want their legs amputated or arms, you should do it. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but if you think it's a psychological problem, how should you address that?
You know, I definitely wouldn't advise amputation until you've thoroughly looked into this. You know, again, the world of science and mental health, we're trying to figure out if this is a mental disorder or if that's not the case. But I think the first step is to, if your body is seeing yourself as blind or seeing yourself as an amputee, are you also going as far as to say, what would my life look like if I become an amputee? It's one thing if you envision yourself of not having part of your leg or part of your foot, but have you gone as far as to gain insight into what life would be like thereafter? I think that's the first step. And then speaking to a professional that knows a little bit more about this to make sure the root of your why, the root of this issue, isn't something that can be resolved before we move forward with an amputation or a more extreme measure.
Because once you go there, there is absolutely no going back.
No going back.
You can't get that arm or that leg reattached. You can get prosthetics, but that's it.
That's
Dr.
it.
Jasmine Boone, always good to talk to you. This is a strange one, mind-blowing, but you know, it's the world we live in. Thank you for joining us here on The Factor Uncensored tonight, and we'll see you here next time.
What about transabled people? That's not a mental illness either, then, is it? And they're like, transabled? What's transabled? So they know all about the trans. Where's the colour for the transabled people? Why don't they get a shout out? Why aren't they part of the community? Why aren't they part of the LGBTQ 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 9, 8 community? Why aren't they part of that? Transabled people, you know? The transabled people, the people that make themselves blind because they believe that they were born disabled, or they get a leg chopped off, or an arm cut off because they believe that they were born without, they believe that they should have been born without an arm, or they believe they should have been born blind.
Something that the world didn't give me, and the world cannot take it away. And I've got something that the world